Good morning, church. Or is it afternoon already? It's late. I had prepared some notes and then I printed them. And then Joe said to me, you know, if you come and you bring some notes, they're going to fall. And then they're going to, like, you won't know which page is which. And you're just going to lose some of the pages and you'll end up missing some of the preach. So I tried to put it on the phone, as it will make it much easier. But sometimes technology can fail, so I decided, you know what, let me just keep it safe. For those who don't know me, I know that I've been here for a while, but it does happen that people don't know, because I usually sit on that corner. My name is Chipiwa, and Thabane is the same name, and I'm married to my wife, who is not here today. I know she would have loved really to be here, but she had to leave this morning to the Northwest. So if you see me yawning, it's not because, it will be my own fault, I guess, but it's because I also woke up very early this morning when she was leaving. So yeah, I know for the past 2 weekends, there have been people yawning here at church while some of the elders have been preaching. So yeah, it's an honor for me to really stand here in front of you and share what God has put in my life. Yeah, I don't take it for granted. I had many opportunities to say no when Joey asked me. One could have been that I was going to the Northwest. And to be honest, 2 days before we decided not that I'm no longer going, just 2 days after, then Joey asked that I should preach. And I'm like, I think we should reverse the decision. I think I should go. But yeah, it just shows how God works in his own ways and not in our ways. Okay, so yeah, it's an honor for me, and I'm grateful. And I do hope and pray that the word that he has put will encourage you. So yeah, I basically prepared a preach as I was asked by the elders, and one of the things really that has come to my heart is what God has done in my life for the past few years, or rather many years ago. As Joe was asking how old I am, I'm quite old. I know I do look young, but I've been around for a bit. I don't know anyone here ever used a TomTom GPS or Garmin. It's one of those, yeah. We've got some older people here in the house that would know what I'm talking about. Yeah, unfortunately, I never managed to get one of them, but I remember in my first time when I bought a car, I needed to know where to go, because I bought my car here in Cape Town, and I needed to drive back to Limpopo to go home. And I went to CNA, and I bought an actual map that you study before you drive, and then you drive. So it was quite difficult. But something happened to me a couple of weeks ago. I had to go to town. I usually work from my house, so I had to go to town for a meeting. My boss asked me to go for a meeting on his behalf. And an Uber came to pick me up in the morning. I think this is around 2:07 or so. Little did I know that was too late to go to town. I should have left much earlier. So the guy picks me up. As I get in the car, the GPS says, as we get just on Parklands Main, says that he needs to go to the N7. And I'm like, there's no way we're going to the N7. That's the opposite direction. If we go to the N7, we're going to be delayed, like the Malibongwe Drive out in Danun. So we can't use that route. Can we use the route that we know? Just ditch the GPS. So then he followed, you know, our instinct, and we went on. And guess what? We were on Wood Drive, and we were stuck. And I guess this happens to everyone, right? GPS tells you to go somewhere, and you go like, nah, this can't be right. It's impossible that I need to take the longer route to get to the destination where I need to go. So I'm going to use my own instinct to follow the route that I believe should be the right route, right? And we did that. I got stuck. Luckily, I arrived just in time, just when the meeting was about to start. It would have been an embarrassment that for my boss that I arrived late in the meeting that he sent me. Also for myself, I wouldn't have felt good. I'm always trying to be on time all the time. But this analogy of the GPS and us trusting our own instinct instead of what the direction is telling us plays quite well in everyone's life every day, right? In our walk of faith, God does tell us to do something, to go somewhere, and we go like, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going. I don't think God has designed me and chosen me to go that direction. I think I'm going to rather take a different direction. And that's something that we all live with every day. We deviate from the plans that God has for us daily. And it's a difficult one. So today, really, I just want us to explore what it means for us to trust and love the way which God has prepared for us. So I'm just going to start off with one scripture. If Bess, if you can just do Proverbs chapter 3. I think we all know this famous scripture. It says that, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. I think a lot of us, we do say we trust God with all our heart, but not with everything that we do. Sometimes we trust him in certain things, and certain things we don't trust him in. We trust other people. We trust our own ways because we are people. We have plans, and we want to control what we think we can control in our lives. What does it really mean to trust? What does it mean to trust? Anyone ever had an op? Have you ever been to a doctor and he say to you, unfortunately, we have to lay you on a table and we're going to operate on you? I've been there. And the first time when I had to go for an operation, I was like, I can't do this. And they're like, no, you're going to be under anesthesia. You won't feel any pain. What I did, I went and first Googled the doctor, check how many times he has done this operation, just to be sure. Has he had any failures, any successes? And only then did I come back and say, okay, I'm going to do it. And guess what? I went, I did the op. It was very quick, and I was out. And it was successful. But it took me to first do research. I could not trust just a guy saying, because I have a medical degree, I will operate on you and you will be okay. And I guess a lot of us have been in that situation where we find ourselves with someone who we want to entrust our lives with, but we don't believe that they will do a good job. So trust first comes from the point of basically believing someone's reliability, honesty, and good intentions. And I think Joey last week touched, the previous week, you preached last week or 2 weeks ago, about love and there's a word that I wanted to use here, about good intentions, that sometimes you are only sure of someone's intentions. You always hope for their best intentions about that person's on your life, up until they're holding a knife and they're about to choke you down. So trust comes from that point where you need to really believe that this person has good intentions for me. And even to our Father, we know that our Father has good intentions for our lives. And that's why that verse that we read there, it says that trust him and not lean in your own understanding. I wanted us to go to also Romans chapter 8, which just covers also that part. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that says that And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Okay. Now, the second thing about us really walking in the path which God has prepared for us is we need to love and enjoy the journey. If we don't love and enjoy the journey, it's going to be chaotic because we're going to be grumpy, we're going to be complaining all the time. And really, I think many people here have taught about love and what it looks like. But love is more than just a feeling. There's action to love. And really, it has to do with devotion. Think of it as in a family setting. If you love someone, you're going to spend time with them. If you love God, you're going to spend time with him. Obedience. If you love someone, you're going to obey them. If my wife loves me, she's going to agree when I say something. She's going to obey what I'm saying and because she loves me. So there is a sign of obedience in love. And if you love God, you will obey what his word says. And lastly, if you love someone, you will recognize the blessings that are expressed through gratitude. And you will always show gratitude. And I think the word that Zach brought earlier about us showing gratitude to the Almighty, that was very key. But the two, trust and love, work together. They can't be separated. They are really connected. And how we find that they are connected is that if you trust and love God, we can't really love him without trusting him. Is that right? You can't get married to someone just because you love them. You got to trust them. Think of a child, right? When a child goes to the father and say, "Dad, I need money for new shoes," they know that the father is going to do it. They believe that the father is going to do it because they believe that the father loves them, right? Everybody agree? Like, you're not going to say no to your son up until you're like, "No, I'm not going to do it because the shoes that you have are still okay, so they're not broken." So that's also a sign of love. You can't just give in all the time because a child wants. Okay. And so those are two things that are connected to each other, trust and love. And once you live in trust and love, you're going to start enjoying what God has in store for you and the path that he has prepared. Now, there are reasons why in today's life, why we find it very difficult for us to love the way that God has prepared for us. There are a few reasons that I'm going to give. There is a lot of reasons, but I'm going to give four reasons why we find it very difficult in our lives to enjoy God's purpose. I'm going to start with fear of the unknown. I'll give you a story. A couple of years, I think about 13 years ago, I was working in a mail center. It was my second job. And I just felt in my heart God wanted me to stop working so that I can do my driver's license and seek better opportunity. I went home. Fast forward, when I was home, my mom told me, "How are you going to do the license? It cost money." At the time, it cost like 3,500 rand. I had to do the whole license and everything. I only had 500 rand in me. And she gave me another 500 rand, which was 1,000 rand for a deposit. And she told me that I needed to work to get the rest. And then she gave me an opportunity to say, "I'll give you a startup." So she gave me a sort of a startup to hustle. I sold chickens for that period. Mind you, I had a degree. I sold chickens every day. And I really prayed to God. I said, "God, you need to bless these chickens. They need to grow as fast as possible because I need the money to get my license." And chickens grew, but to find customers became very difficult. Then I came up with a strategy that I was going to prepare the chickens for people so that they don't have to worry about slaughtering. And at home, back home, you slaughter your own chickens, slaughtering and cleaning. I ended up getting clients who were placing orders, 10 chickens a day. But during that process, God built something in me, something beautiful, something that taught me that as I wait for my opportunity, I cannot just sit, but I had to go and do something. Fast forward, after I got my license, just a week after I got my license, I had a bit of money that I had saved during the process of selling chickens. I took a bus, I went to Johannesburg, and I called a friend of mine. Actually, he phoned me. He's like, "Hey, Chief, where are you?" I said, "No, I'm now in Joburg." He's like, "Oh, can we meet up?" I said, "Sure." He came, he had a car, but he didn't have petrol. So he came, when he came, I said, "Hey, bro, like, we can't just sit here and do nothing. Can we go and look for work?" So I had a couple of CVs that I had printed back home. Fast forward, we went around, you know, different factories dropping CVs from, like, literally dropping CVs in factories where they had signs written, "No jobs." We would go in and sort of, you know, speak to the security guys, like, "No, we like students, you know, want to speak to the ops manager." We never said want to speak to HR or anything until they allow us in. We dropped a couple of CVs. After lunch, he receives a call from a company called Transnet, for those that know the company. They call him, they say, "Hey, we want to interview you. Can you come on Thursday?" This was on Tuesday. "Can you come on Thursday? But please bring your certificate." And then he's like, "Oh no, I don't have a certificate. Yes, I still have one module left." And then they're like, "Oh, sorry, we need someone who's done." And then he drops the phone. And then I'm like, "Bruh, I'm here next to you." Like, he's like, "Oh, sorry. Okay, what do? We tried calling the number back, it didn't work." We then drove to Carlton Center. Carlton Center. I remember floor number 42. We went up there and I said to them, you phoned the guy, I'm here on his behalf. Here is my certificate." And they're like, "Oh, come to the interview on Thursday." I went to the interview. I got the job on the spot, and on Monday, I had to start here in Cape Town. But that was me trusting that God had a better plan for me, which did not make sense in my mind. I left a job that was permanent just because I felt God had something better, but I didn't know what it was. And today, I worked for Transnet for 10 years, and the rest is history. I'm no longer working there. I've moved on. But what I wanted to show you was when I left, I didn't know what was going to happen. And sometimes God is going to ask you to step out into something without you knowing what's going to happen, because he's got better plans for your life. Now, let me touch on these four things. Fear of the unknown. And there is that thing that Joe told me about that is happening. Can we read Joshua 1, verse 9? "This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Sometimes when God asks us to step out and do something or go somewhere, we always fear, like, what will happen? How will I do it? Will it work? We all know the story of many men who were called by God to do something, and they had fear. I think of Jonah, even though it was not really fear for him, he just decided, "I'm not going to follow the path that God wanted me to follow." And he decided to take the boat and went somewhere else up until the whale swallowed him. And when he was praying, he said, "Father, you know what? I don't know what I was doing, but if it is you, then take me where you want me to go." And the whale then went and spit Jonah out so that he could go and fulfill the purpose that God had for him. But we all are driven by something. It's either faith or fear. And if it's fear, it will deviate you from the path which God has prepared for you. And God has much greater things that he has planned for our lives. But we don't step into those things because of fear. The second thing that I'm going to touch on is the desire for control. I think I spoke about it earlier. We all like to control. I want to be in charge of what I'm doing. I want to know that if I go and study this particular degree, this is where I'm going to end in my life. And after I've worked in this company for so long, I'm probably going to open my own company. That's like a control. It's like you have planned your life to say, this is what I'm going to do. I studied engineering, core engineering, which had nothing to do with IT. Today, I work in an IT environment. It wasn't part of my plan. My plan was to become something big at Transnet, fixing trains. That's what I was good at. We desire to control things. I will tell you, I think we all know the story of David. When everyone was at war, David was left behind. And till he saw Bathsheba, fast forward to the story, they had a baby. And David thought he could control the situation of him having an affair. And he went and killed Bathsheba's husband. Yes. And what happens after he killed her? God was not pleased with him. And David then knew that God was not happy. What David did, God told him that I'm going to kill the child that was born out of this. David went and fasted. But God had a different plan. The child still died. David thought he could control things. And David is the man that we say he was the man after God's heart. So this is not unique to certain people, but to all of us. As children of God, sometimes we struggle with wanting to control things and not letting go and allowing God to control the path or our lives for the path which he has prepared. The third item is suffering. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Sometimes we go through situations in our lives. You lose a job. You get sick. Situations happen. You lose a loved one. And you ask yourself, if God really wanted me to walk on this path, then why must I go through this suffering? There is a scripture where Paul speaks about a vision. He said, I saw visions, but I don't boast on them. And the Lord, he says that the Lord causes him. He sent the devil to cause a pain in his body, and he begged God three times to say, can this go away? Sometimes we will suffer because it's the path which God has prepared for us. Sometimes it's not straightforward that when we walk in the path of God, everything will go well. But there's going to be times where our faith is going to be tested. It is in the suffering, after all, where we get to grow. There are so many stories. I think in the past few weeks, there are so many preachers that spoke about different people that went through a lot. You can talk about Daniel. You can speak about Joseph. All these men, they could have turned and said, but God, are you sure that this was the plan you had for me? But God always has a plan, even in our suffering. If you look at the whole book of Job, especially the first chapter where Job suffered a lot, he lost everything to the point where they ask him, say, just curse your God and everything will be okay. But he didn't. He trusted that God had a plan. And in the end of all the suffering, Job became victorious. He was more blessed than before. All the things that were taken from him were given back to him. And the last thing, basically, that stops us from loving the path that God has given to us is we read scripture, and in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, it says that, I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you have received it, it will be yours. How many have been praying for a breakthrough, and it has not come? How many have been praying for a job, and it has not come? You've been praying for illness to go away, and it has not come. And you're praying in the name of Jesus. Sometimes unanswered prayers stops us from following God's path. And if you look at 2 Corinthians, I just want to qualify that statement. Chapter 12, from verse 7. Even though I have received such wonderful revelation, this is Paul, from God. So to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. 3 different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can come through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am made strong. So sometimes we pray and pray and pray and say, Father, really? Is this the plan that you said you want me to walk in? But you're not answering my prayers. There's Paul. Nothing should stop us from following the path which God has prepared for us. I had a quick story I wanted to share. Just 1 second. This is the story of Moses. Moses, when he was born during the time when Pharaoh decided that because the Israelites were growing in numbers, and even though they were working them hard, the guys were working very hard, making bricks every day, but they're still increasing in number because God had a plan for them, for the nation. And when Moses was born, Pharaoh just announced that all the boys must be killed. And his mother then took him and hid him in the river. And basically, fast forward, Moses was then saved by Pharaoh's daughter as she was bathing. And she took him over. And then basically, Moses grew up in the family of Pharaoh. Moses grew up basically in the king's house. He had everything he needed. He lacked nothing. But God had a plan. Do you think that it was Moses' idea to leave the king's place and go and lead the Israelites out of Egypt into the promised land? I don't think so. When God went to Moses, he said, look, I can't even speak. I stutter when I speak. You know, like, this is not going to work. God had a plan. And in that plan, the plan was to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. But not in a single day that when Moses was sitting there in Pharaoh's palace, was he thinking, one day I'm going to take all the Israelites out of this misery. Never in his life did he think of that. God had a plan for his life. Now, we might be sitting here. We have, all of us, we have this idea of what our lives are going to turn out one day. But I'm telling you, God has a different plan than what you think for your life. It is way beyond your own understanding. I did not plan to speak here today. Never in my life did I ever wake up and said, I will be preaching here. Never. But God had a different plan. And God has a different plan for each and every one of us. And that plan could be leading the Israelites out of Egypt. Although it may be very difficult to lead them out, but that is the plan that he has for you. And his word is yes and amen. Lastly, there are a couple of things that we will need to do. I'll be closing now. A couple of things that we will need to do to get close to the call that God has for us and to get close to the plan. Some of those things is to make sure that we focus on God's character. Second thing is that we need to study his word. The only way we'll know God's character is if we study his word. You will find this, you don't have to put it up, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, which says that, basically, keep this book of the law always in your lips. Meditate on it day and night. And the third thing is basically, we need to communicate to the Father all the time through prayer. And basically, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, I don't know if I give you that one, Bessie? Okay. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart, hearts, and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Those are the three things that I think we can practice in order for us to find ourselves in the path which he has prepared for us, and we can be able to enjoy the journey with him. Lastly, I think just as some pointers to take note of why we need to do all these things and why it's important to enjoy the path that God has prepared. There are benefits, obviously. To following God's plan. And if you think of the scripture that I just read now, which will give you peace that surpasses any understanding, is that in God's plan, you find peace. In God's plan, you find joy. If you think of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In the book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you think of them, they decided to not worship the god, the idol that was created by the king at the time. What's his name? Yes. In the end, their lives transformed the whole nation because of the life that they led. And now if we can all also live our lives according to the path which God has prepared for us, we will not only transform our own lives, but we will transform lives of those around us. People will begin to see Jesus through us when we walk, in schools, in our workplaces, and it will change the nations. It's not in the preaching that we do here Sundays when we listen to Joe and Joey preaching, or Gavin sharing pictures, but it is in the lives. But it is in the lives that we live daily outside of this place, that lives get transformed, that people get to see the light. So I wanted to encourage you today with those few words. And I do believe that if you spend a lot of time in scripture and you reflect on how God is working in your life and the path which he has prepared for you, you will live a happy life that is fulfilling. So thank you very much. Joe.